taping. We're taping, Phil. Hey, man, I saw Joan here. I tapped into her as a resource of servanthood, and she was obliged to do it. It's a healing service. We're just going to simply preach the word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. So we want to stir faith in our hearts. Amen? Who's ever lived hopeless in a situation? You just felt hopeless. I mean, it's not a wrong thing to raise your hand. Who can relate? There's times where you get in situations and it just seems hopeless. It's a terrible place to be. It's a perilous place to be. He's the God of all hope, the Bible says. The Bible says that hope won't disappoint us because the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. So to have hope is good. To hope in God is always good. Okay? I just got in a family situation. A lady was passing on and I said, look, it's never wrong to believe God. It's never wrong to pray and believe God and bring God in on everything. It's never wrong to hope in God. So we just, and you, whenever you do that, it doesn't matter how it works out in the end, you'll always see the Lord in it. You see what I mean? So it's just pays. So what I'm going to do is this morning, I'm going to preach the word a little bit. And I had a thought rise up in me about Jesus coming in the flesh. And it stirred in me and I felt like we needed to run the tape. So that's why we have the tape running. And the reason we're going to preach the word is because we want to renew our minds. We want to get thinking like God's thinking. I mean, Proverbs, where is it? 27, somebody help me. I think it's Proverbs 27 says, as a man thinketh, so he is. So all our lives we've been beat down. All our lives we've taught ourselves who we are by what we've done. People have stereotyped us. We've allowed ourselves to be stereotyped by the impressions and thoughts and words of another. And by the time you're such and such an age, you become something in life, but it's the result of many factors in your life. And wonder if it has nothing to do with who you really are. Who you're really created to be. The word of God changes everything. I am who I am through the word. This smile that I got now as I'm talking, it's just there. I can't help it. I could try to take it off. It's not going to leave me, okay? Because there's joy inexpressible in my heart. It comes from the Lord. It comes from my salvation. Watch this. Joy comes from your salvation. It's the joy of your salvation. Salvation is a word, I think it's soteria, and it says, to be saved, it's to be healed, delivered, it's to be made whole. It's the same word, really, as sozo. It's the same type word. It's almost identical word. It means the same stuff. Saved doesn't mean going to heaven. It means made right, made whole. I've been saved. The salvation of the Lord, it's my joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. So I'm not trying to be happy every day, and I'm not trying to look for a reason to be glad. I've got an eternal hope and an eternal reason to rejoice forever. Do you understand? Because Jesus is Lord. He paid a price for me. He raised from the dead. He sits at the right hand of God. And I've accepted that for myself. And I've allowed that gospel to change me to be who he's called me to be. There's just a joy there. You don't conjure it up. Circumstances and trials and troubles can't take it away when it's sincere joy. All hell could be breaking out. And you're in heavenly places. Your identity's in Christ. See, and here's the fact. When you're a Christian, to be a Christian, remember how Jesus says, many of you know that he says this, you've got to first deny yourself. Lay down your life. You got to bow before him and lay down your life. He said, if you lose your life, you'll find your life. If you deny yourself, it'll never be about you anymore. It'll be about him. So in the pressure and in the trial of life, my response means everything, doesn't it, if I'm a Christian? My character means everything, doesn't it? My words. If I'm a sincere-hearted, God-fearing Christian, I want to reveal him in all things. So I don't want to be a mere man. I don't want to act like everybody else acts when they should act this way. I want to be like him. Do you understand? So I don't even know why I'm going this way. I didn't expect to go this way, but it just feels right. See, that has everything to do with everything. I'm denying myself, so my focus is off of who? Because when sickness comes, financial pressure and all this stuff, we tend to get personal, don't we? Well, how about me? Well, how's your day, brother? Oh, well, you know, man. Self-centered, self-focused, self-conscious. Your joy can be stolen quickly when it's about you. It's not about me. Look, he loves me. He died for me. From his point of view, he'd probably look up in heaven to the end and say, oh, it's all about him. From his point of view, he's all about me. But it's not about me. It's about him. See, we're in covenant. The covenant is God says to me, all that I am, I give to you. My response, it's like a wedding. He's saying, will you marry me? You bet, Lord. You want to marry me? Okay. All that he is. And he puts his, whoo, my goodness, all that he is to me. My response, all that I am, I give to you. So from his point of view, he's all about me. From my point of view, I'm all about him. So I want to shine and reflect and reveal him in all things. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now watch. You can take that or you can leave that. It's your choice. You can live for that or you can say, oh, well, I wanted this. And you'll live such a low form of life. You'll put yourself through all kinds of mess and stress. And I love being stress-free. I love being blessed. You know what I mean? Look, I've been cursed. I've been blessed. And blessed is a whole lot better. You know what I'm saying? And it's simply because I gave my life to him. No strings attached to me. It's not about me anymore. I'm living for the glory of God. And you better believe my character is important. You better believe my responses are important. You better believe the message I'm sending to all of you through my everyday life means everything. Because we see him through one another. Now, when you got people saying I'm a Christian and they're in another realm and they're expressing a lot of flesh and blah, 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 then people growing up that are young and immature and don't understand, they start weighing God and Christianity through that mess. And their hearts get hard and they don't even want nothing to do with God, because if that's God, they don't want God. Guess what? That's not God. That's not God. You hear what I'm saying? I don't know. They just say that with your introduction. I don't even know how I got there, but I got there. Anybody need a Bible? So you can follow along? Anybody want one? Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? Dad, there you go. You want one? Glory. You think the church without a Bible count? I'm kidding you. Amen. I'm kidding. We hand them out. You can come without a Bible. We hand them out. Amen. Praise God. Let's go to 1 John. There's a thought that just rose in me when all you guys were walking in. I just want to welcome you. Open your hearts. Let's get in the Word. We're going to pray for you at the end if you need prayer. Listen, I'm going to talk real. It's going to sound proud almost, overconfident. If you're dealing with sickness in your body, open your heart. Because I promise you, Jesus is Lord. And he don't think the whole, he don't like sickness. He paid the price to destroy it. Are you hearing me? So if you've got sickness in your body, you just open your heart and you catch the power of what we're saying. Your identity can be healed today through this message. I know, because I know where we're starting. I know where we're going to end up. I haven't thought this message through. I'm the kind of guy that I just come to the service. I open my Bible and we go. You know what I mean? With the Holy Ghost. But I can tell you about where we're heading here when I'm about to read this. 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, verse 1. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit. You know, there's a lot of voices out there. There's a whole lot of stuff out there. Who knows that? There's counterfeits everywhere. People don't understand, but familiar spirits are real. The devil's real. The devil's real. Now, I don't ever encourage anybody to get on some tangent and start focusing on the devil. You focus on Jesus. You focus on the power of God. And that's what Jesus did. Jesus lived the will of God. And when the devil really manifested himself. The devil really, when he got around Jesus, just kind of made himself known. And it was always in a pitiful way. He was always outdone, outpowered. And we can walk in a place where we don't even have to be devil conscious. Jesus conscious. Life conscious. Peace conscious. Forgiveness conscious. Holy Ghost conscious. You hear me? Man, Christians got to get over on this. And let's focus on the answer. We're so problem-oriented, we're consumed by the problem. We're told we got cancer and we're instantly a cancer patient. No, we're blood-washed, spirit-filled child of living God with eternal life dwelling on the inside, bless God. Promises that are precious and great and mighty, and every one is yes and amen. And through them, I'm partaking of his divine nature. Cancer? Jesus. You hear where I'm going? See, you got to get there. No problem conscious. Jesus conscious. Answer. If we would get our eyes on the answer, we'll become the fruit and product of the answer. This makes sense. So we got our eyes on our weakness. We need to get our eyes on his strength. We got our eyes on our poverty, our bondage, our problems. We need to get our eyes on his liberty, his freedom, his grace. Amen? So it doesn't matter what you're going through, where you've been, what you've done, you can wake up in the morning humble. Through the blood of Jesus, you can stand in your bedroom and yield to him and receive his love and thank him that he's given you right identity and you're not ashamed to be his child. He starts having fellowship with you. See what I'm saying? I know this as a pastor. A whole lot of Christians don't do that. I'm just being straight. A whole lot of Christians have been robbed from that liberty. And they're believing that lie. When I'm telling you, Jesus is as close as mentioned. He's as close as you humbly in a secret place with the door shut. Nobody but you know you're there and God. And you lift your hands and begin to talk to him and have conversation and yield yourself to him. He says, I will see you there in that secret place and I will reward you in the open. When you're seeking him, what are you seeking? Him. What's he rewarding you with? Him in the open. So you're not trying to be some great Christian. You're just sincerely in the presence of God wanting more of Him. And He says, okay. It's that simple. I'm talking like a child this morning, okay? It's simple. It's not complex. Watch this. Spirits, they're everywhere, I'm telling you, but don't fear them. Don't get in a mess. Don't believe the worst, okay? I feel like I have a grace to share this with you in 30 seconds. I don't think it'll stretch anybody too far. I just prayed for a lady recently who had a demonic bondage in her soul. Sincere, God-fearing, loved the Lord. But an evil spirit showed himself to her because they were steering her life of the devil. So this demonic spirit showed itself. This is a phenomenal thing what happened. It's really amazing. This would be interesting. So I see some faces here. Some people will really get something out of this. She saw it the first time in a church service. It was in the church service. And she freaked out in her soul. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Visually saw it. And instead of what? Thank you that I've been free from that fallen thing. Glory to God. Jesus. You know what I mean? She let it carry weight in her life. Fear. So it located fear in her what? Next church service. Blink, there it was standing somewhere else. Now she's really freaking out. Now she's thinking, my God, I can't even go to church. The third time she saw it, and this was a real story. This really happened just a couple weeks ago because I was talking about seeing a spirit, and I was talking about it, and she burst out in the service in tears and then came up and shared what was going on. This spirit, the third time she saw it, just came right at her. And when it got right here, it dissipated. It disappeared. Now, what do you think she said in her mind in fear? Oh, my God, it came in. Oh, my God, it's in me. Instead of greater is He that is in me. Thank God I'm a child of the living God and my spirit is reborn and the Holy Ghost possesses me and consumes me and there is no fear. Soon as she in fear said, what? Soon as she said in her heart, oh, my God, it's in me. She started to live like it was in her. She started to live ashamed. She started to live like she wasn't as good as other Christians. She started to live like she had this big secret. That's heaven. A lying, thieving spirit. Fallen forever from the presence of God, trying to steal the joy of a true believer. Right. Man. So I prayed for her. I talked to her and I prayed and I prayed and God really did it, God. He set her free. It was good. But it was the power of what she was what? Believing. Tommy. Did she have the power at that very moment in the Holy Ghost to stand and speak the word and be free and walk in the right identity? Did that spirit have any dominion or power over her outside of the fear of the door she would open? I said on Sunday night, the devil is powerless where your life is concerned unless you believe. He's a deceiver. He's the father of lies. He's been lying from the beginning. And when he tells a lie, he tells from his own resource. The only power the devil has in your life is what you believe about him and what you give him. I'm telling you. You believe you're going to die? You're probably going to die. You believe you're going to live for the right reason? You're going to live. Somebody get mad at me for being that simple or think I'm popping off and sounding arrogant or something. I'm telling you, this book is powerful. Watch this. Don't believe every spirit. Don't believe every spirit, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is deep. Watch. By this you know the Spirit of God. Now he's given us a real clear thing here to start with. This is foundational. This is deep. This is going to bless us. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. Now, let me ask you something. Let me provoke you to thought. Why is that the issue to determine whether it's of God or not? Why not that he rose from the dead? Why not that he sits at the right hand of Almighty God? Why the issue of him coming in the flesh? What does that have to do with determining the difference between the spirit being of God or not? Ooh, what a good answer. I got the answer. I'm not asking you for information. I got the answer. I'm letting you think on that a little. Because that's heavy. You know, to me, the stone rolled away, the earth shook, and there was an angel at the garden there where the keeper was, and he wasn't in the tomb. The Easter story's phenomenal. Why isn't that the thing that makes the difference? That he rose from the dead, because that's an important part. He came in the flesh. Satan hates the fact, that he came in the flesh. I was just the other week, I was up there in the early. I was in here early. I was walking and I just kept yelling it like I was out of my mind. And I guess I was. You came in the flesh! You came in the flesh! You came in the flesh! I was screaming it! You conquered all things in the flesh! And I started to preach the gospel in my prayer. That was my prayer time. Yeah, that was fun. Watch this. I know I'm getting a little overexcited, but you got to understand why it's awesome that it came in the flesh. 1 Corinthians 15, if you've got notes, I'll save time, says he's the second Adam. See, God created man in the Garden of Eden, in his image. God created man as a man of flesh, but filled with God's Spirit, surrounded by God's glory. He gave him dominion and told him to subdue the earth. God chose to make man in his image, and God chose to let man caretake over everything in the very image, power, and presence of God. Man was created by God, and it's awesome. What a privilege to be alive. What a privilege to be a person created by God. He wants to be a father. He's what? He blessed him. He ordained him to subdue. I couldn't take you there, but I'm just going to quote it. You just study out Genesis. It's all there. You'll know I'm telling the truth. He created man. He created the beasts of the field, the animals. And then he sat down and told Adam, son, go ahead and name them all. Do you know that's in the Bible? So God gave him the freedom to start functioning in this plane with God. And God didn't say, oh, no, you can't call it that. No, you can't listen. Follow Dad's advice, but you need to call it. Whatever Adam called him. This is deep. Get this. Whatever Adam called him. The reason I have to get so passionate and preach this kind of stuff is because we've been so beaten down. We think we're worms in the dirt. We think we're worthless. We think we're always going to be filthy sinners. And we're walking almost, we don't even know who we really are. And when somebody comes out and starts saying who they really are, we think it's pride or overconfidence or presumption. It's not presumption. It's my roots and my inheritance and my birthright. It's a very humbling thing. It makes me cry. You see what I mean? It's God said, this is who I am. It's not me puffing up and saying, oh, you know, super Christian, see my cape, you know? No. Created by God in his image to rule for the glory of God. Not man. God. For the glory of God. Man's call. The glory of God on the earth is his crown and glory and creation. Man. Man carries some weight in the heart of God because God made him that way. So watch this. He's naming the animals. And everything he called them, God said, that's cool. That'll work. Yeah, that's good. The flowers. Adam's expressing the authority he was given. And God said, you got it, son. The authority's yours. And whatever Adam called the animals, God said, that's what they'll be. That's awesome. Or did you just imagine that? And God had the ability, or Adam had the ability by the Spirit of God to actually do that. Because creation's pretty cool, right? All the beasts of the field and all that stuff. But now that you study the languages, that a lot of the names have, you know, things to do with the character of the animal, the characteristics, smart. But Adam had the ability, and God said, yep, we'll call it that, yep. Now watch this. He did it. Women, you ought to love this. He didn't even, and it ought to just humble us men, like, wow. He didn't even put woman on the scene until God, man functioned that way in the Spirit of God. So watch this. It would be fair to say, out of the fullness of God in a man, he birthed a woman. That's why Ephesians says, when you're one with God, when you're one with God, flesh, bone, and body, for this reason, you leave your mom and dad, cleave to your wife, and become one. Not because you feel like you're in love, not because she's hot and he's a hunk and, well, he's pretty secure and financially steady. Well, you know, we aren't getting any younger, you know. All the reasons we get married. God says the reason you get married is because you're one with me. Now you've got something to give her. But it has nothing to do with need. It has nothing to do with lust, does it? It has nothing to do with selfishness, does it? It's everything to do with God and his glory. Well, I'm preaching to you. I hope you're getting this. It feels right. Amen. Man had a flesh body, but he was consumed with God. God ruled in the man. But yet man had a choice and a free will, because God said, of everything you can have, you can eat, partake of, enjoy, be blessed on. It's your paradise in me, me and you. We're a family. It's all yours. Wow. Except Adam, see that tree? The knowledge of good and evil. You have no need of that. Don't go eat the tree. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Well, unfortunately, he ate the tree, followed Eve. He was deceived. He heeded the voice of his wife instead of God. Ate the tree, and man fell from this place of grace, communion, fellowship. It's incredible what happened. And man has been eating profusely of Christ's aid, profusely eating from that tree since that day. Christians continue to eat that tree. Breaks my heart to think about how we eat that tree, the what, the wisdom. The knowledge of good and evil, the wisdom of man, the rationale of mind. There's a way that seems right to a man, but its way leadeth unto death. That's the tree. It's man becoming his own God. It's man in his mind exalting above the wisdom of God. It gets us in trouble all the time. We're in a tight situation. We rationalize in that mind right out of God's power. We get in a tough situation with a cancer, we talk ourselves right into the problem. We talk ourselves right out of the promises of God because of rationale. I'm telling you, we've become so rational, and we need our minds renewed. We need delivered from that thing called the wisdom for the knowledge of good and evil. God had another tree there, the tree of life, pushes him out of the garden, and prophesied Jesus would come in Genesis 3. And I won't stay there real long because I want to get to this point about Jesus in the flesh. Here's why the devil doesn't acknowledge Jesus coming in the flesh. It's real simple. He came and absolutely did and fulfilled and completed everything that Adam was created to be and do. And he did it for you and I. As the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, he paid every price necessary in his flesh so you and I can stand before God as if we've never sinned. It's incredible. But yet people go before God with self-consciousness, condemnation, guilt, and shame, remembering their past and yesterday's sin. And yet we can stand like this before God and thank him for the right to be one with him through the blood of Jesus Christ. Satan hates that Jesus came in the flesh. 1 Corinthians says, somewhere around there, where is it at? It says it, 1 Corinthians 1, something around there. It's in Corinthians. I can't reference it right now. It says if he would have known, what he is, 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 Corinthians 2, verse, somewhere around 8, 9, 7, somewhere around 8. If he'd ever known what he was doing, he wouldn't have crucified the Son of God. But he did. Uh-oh. If he knew what he was doing, he never would have, but he did. Why do we got to get a hold of this? Because all the punishment of sickness and disease, sin and sorrow and grief came on his flesh. Who saw the movie The Passion? That was probably a little underrated. It was probably worse. Because Isaiah 52 says he was marred more than any of the sons of men. Nobody was ever hammered like he was hammered. Nobody ever had an outcome like he had. He had to take the fullness of the wrath and judgment of sin upon his own being. He came in the flesh and paid a price so our flesh could go free. See, so many Christians are still struggling with God's will on these issues when it's so evident and obvious when you look at a beaten, battered son. He came to put it on himself to take it off of us. The guilty died. The innocent died for the guilty so the guilty could go free. That's why Isaiah is so powerful. It says it pleased God to smote his son and cause his soul to grieve. God wasn't going, because God's the God of all hope. God sees tomorrow. God sees him raised from the dead and at the right hand, and you and I delivered and healed and set free for all eternity. God endured that day with his son and looked to the joy with Jesus set before. They were accomplishing and winning and overcoming the power of darkness if man would just believe. And if Satan knew what he was doing, he wouldn't have done it. But he did. What? But he did. What do you believe? I imagine hell called a big huddle when he rose from the dead, when he stripped him of the keys. Don't you think the devil was fighting the Holy Ghost to raise Jesus from the dead? I guarantee you, when that mighty Holy Ghost walked in there by the power and authority of Almighty God, hell bowed to me. And he said, I've come for the king. And he rose him right out of the grave, alive forevermore. But look, that isn't what determines whether the Spirit's of God or not. Whether it believes Jesus came in the flesh. Because see, Satan wants you bound. Satan wants you tied down. Satan wants you in chains. He wants you to believe your flesh still needs to be in jail for something you're already forgiven of. See, Satan, what the issue is if Jesus came in the flesh or not. Because Jesus wants our flesh delivered back in the garden before sin, where we can have a subduing power, the power of our faith and our word, and we're walking one with God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, holding forth the word of life and shining in light. That's the gospel. So I imagine hell called a huddle. We blew it, guys. We killed him in the flesh. I can imagine all the demons. What are we going to do, boss? What are we going to do? Oh, God, I'm still left. You thought you won. You thought you beat God. Don't curse that creature. Now they can all go free. Now they can all be healed, delivered, set free, saved forever, and we're damned and cursed to the lake of fire. Ah! Think about it. Get real with me. And Satan, in his sly way, says, no. Look, that's God's part. That's what God. Remember Eve? Ha! He was a brave. Remember Adam? He followed her instead of God. Yeah, Eve, settle down, boy. We'll fly. We'll press them. We'll push them. We'll shove them till they can't even believe we've ever done it. We'll make it like we didn't do what we did. We'll tax them. We'll press them for the lack of their knowledge. We'll destroy them. We'll make it all about them. We'll put in family problems and domestic relations problems. We'll bust up the church with pride issues. We'll get them to love their own life, and they'll never overpower us. I'm preaching good here, yes. I'm telling you, Satan, if he'd ever known what he was doing, he wouldn't have done it. He's the father of all lies, and when he lies, he's lying from his own resources. He's been a murderer since the beginning. Jesus called him a murderer since the beginning in that chapter. Why? Because he did a steal killing. If I believe Jesus came in the flesh, I have to understand why. Why? In his flesh, he was tempted at all points, yet without sin. When he died a perfect, complete, and whole man. He became, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, he became sin. He was made to be sin. He was the scapegoat. You ever hear that term? That was Jesus, scapegoat. He was made to be sin that you and I might become. There's no indication of doubt there. It's because it takes faith. That we might, the doors open that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And greater love hath no man than this, he lay down his life. Is it right to believe for healing? My gosh, you better believe it. Is it right to believe for deliverance and salvation and freedom and longevity? For if you lay your love upon me, Psalms 91, I'll deliver you, I'll honor you, and with long life, I'll satisfy you. Tells me I can prolong my days. Tells me I can shorten them if I read my Bible. Religion says, Christian cliche says, well, when your time card's punched, baby, you're out of here. It doesn't say that there's an appointed time for every man to die. It says it's appointed once for every man to die. And the first promise, the first commandment with a promise is honor your mother and father. And it'll be well with you in life as you are. Wonder if you don't honor mom and dad. Wonder if you despise and reject and shame them. You might be cutting yourself off, right? So we have a whole lot to say about the length of this, don't we? See, people don't like that because it sounds like it's giving man too much power. But God created us that way to believe and walk with him, commune with him, and so he could express his good and kind and gracious will through us. What did he say when Jesus was this big in the manger? peace on earth, goodwill toward man. Because he knew 30-some years from the cross, he's still nursing for heaven's sake. He's just in the manger. And God's so excited because his plan of redemption is in the manger. He's on the earth. He has flesh. He's a man. And God says, peace on earth. What was he saying? Take heart, earth. Humanity, take heart. The war between God and sin is over because the Lamb has come. The Lamb has come. Goodwill toward man. I'm not cursing you. I'm not beating you up. I'm not killing you. I've come to save, deliver, restore. Peace on earth. Goodwill toward man. 30-some years before the cross, God screaming out through multitudes of angels. Who knows scripturally, angels only say what God's saying. When the angel said that, God was saying that. Satan's so blind and deceived, he's fighting against God. Do you understand? He can't. Now, do you realize how berserk and bizarre he is? He's fighting against God. He can't win. Here's what he believes. He believes he can fight against you and you and defeat the God in your life. And he can't defeat God. He can't rise above the throne of God, but he believes he can rise above the throne of God in your life by fear, by worry, identity crisis, telling you you're no good. But this ain't true for you. You'll never be that. That's why it's so important to know you're a sheep in the field of God. Because my sheep hear my voice and obey, and strangers, they won't follow. Doesn't say you won't hear it. You'll hear lies all your life. You'll hear negativity and doubt all your life. Your mind is a battle zone. You got to fill your heart with this word. You got to humble yourself and fall in the mercy of God and give your life to him and let the Holy Ghost lead you through. But it's perilous times for that. And there's things trying to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came in the flesh. Watch the perks and benefits of this. In the flesh, he was separated from God on the cross. He knows that's true. It got dark. Why have you forsaken me? Watch the perks and benefits. He was separated from God, so we in the flesh never what? Have to be. God says, I will never leave you or forsake you, but he forsook who? And we're going to dare walk around and fuss and say we're lonely and God doesn't love us. Or when simple faith says, thank you, you're here and you'll never leave me, and you're as close as the mention of your name. Jesus! Oh, you're too intense and passionate about this, sir. You're wrong. Jesus suffered an incredible death to give me an incredible life. Why sell it short? Why weigh it short? Why say, well, I'll never do? Why never do? Well, if God wills, you know, if that's in God's divine plan. Man, it's pretty obvious to me when I look at Jesus on the cross that he's saying, I have become bound and beaten and even cursed by God so you can be delivered, free. Why? Not just so you have a good day. You can't miss it. Not just so you can have a good day. So you live with God. Not just so it's well with you. Because that's how shallow we can be with this gospel message. Trying to find peace. For so you can live in your advantage state. I don't know about you, but I love the authority that can touch the cancer. I don't know about you. That turns me on. I mean, I used to get into winning the card game for heaven's sake, or a basketball game or something. You can attack cancer, and it dies in the presence and glory of God. Bang. I don't know about you, but that's the identity I like. How about Rose stood up in our healing service? HIV-free, remember? The last two visits, no HIV. I don't know about you, but AIDS is a killer. HIV is a killer. It's a death sentence. I just said to Lou and Carol, I don't know what gets better than HIV fleeing, because you might as well just raise the dead, because that was a dead man walking. He came in the flesh, was raised by the power of God. Watch this, it gets better. And now he sits at the right hand, triumphant, holding the keys in the presence of the Lord on behalf of us. I'm going to show you that in words. So why are we testing the Spirit? But any spirit that doesn't believe Jesus came in the flesh isn't of God, because it's afraid you'll understand and receive that power. See, you can believe he's raised from the dead, but that has nothing to do with your flesh existence and your flesh life. That's just taking you to heaven. That's what you think. See, devil doesn't want you to really think deep on Jesus coming in the flesh. So any spirit that doesn't acknowledge that isn't of God, but a spirit that does is of God, because God, well, that's the first foundational truth you have to understand, that Jesus became a man. Was tempted at all points like you and I, yet he never sinned, yet he died like a sinner, so that we can stand free. So even though we've bitten the bait, even though we've taken the temptation, we can see the first love of God, we can see the goodness of God, and it leads us to change. See, I'm not a man right now looking for a way to get around sin or get away with sin. I've got every reason to walk free. I've got the love of God pulsating in my heart. I've got God's Spirit willing me to hold in this. And if I happen to find myself in a weakness or a blunder, I quickly confess it, separate myself from it, and wash it. That's a sincere heart. We've got Christians, well, you know, we're always going to sin. Well, what, have you never sinned? And what we're doing is we're expecting to fail today, later today. We're expecting to call on the blood. We're expecting to show, because we're just men, you know. The biggest lie on the face is we're just people, you know. We'll never be perfect, you know. What, are you perfect, Anthony? All these phrases we hear out there, and it sounds humble. It sounds like we're doing God justice. We're doing this gospel the biggest injustice when we talk that way, because we're not letting the fullness of who he is have its way in us. We're not letting the strength of who he is rule and reign in us. We're simply just trying to be the best we can be, and we know we all fall short, so we're just going to be so good, and God will just have to take us like we are, you know. We're being so deceived. Look, I'm not walking out of these double doors of sin today. I'm walking out of these double doors of man possessed by the Holy Spirit of God, washed in the blood, pure and clean in his sight, and I feel his presence. And I'm walking with God, and I'm not thinking sin. I'm thinking Jesus and righteousness, holiness, and purity, and faith. And guess what sin does? He peels off. Falls off. Yet actually, that identity repels sin. You can find that in Romans 6. I've been a slave to sin, or a slave to sin, but now I'm freed and a slave unto righteousness, producing its fruit unto holiness. You want to walk holy? Don't bite your lip and try to be good today. No. You want to be holy? Thank you, you made me right in my life. Thank you, there's no guilt or shame in my life. You made me. God, a living God, adopted by the Spirit. Thank you. All of a sudden, you leave the house knowing who you are. And this thing, it's been good today. But I said, I just thought I'd visit. Last time I came, I felt good when I left. I'm doing my best. Phew, I know it's getting me to feel good. I always feel selfish after these services. I say, Lord, I hope they got half of what I got, because I am wiped out, man. I am ready to take the world, baby. I hope they just got a little bit of what I got. They're doing all right. You need to see he came in flesh. Watch this. His flesh was buried in a tomb, and he actually went into the belly of the earth. You know the Bible teaches that? That he didn't leave his soul in Hades, which means he was in Hades. He went to hell, so you never have to. He was separated from God, so you never have to be. He became sin and sickness and sorrow and grief and pain, so you don't have to be. See why it's so important to understand he came in the flesh? And his flesh, his innocent, holy, pure, in oneness with God's flesh, became the scapegoat and paid the punishment and price and wrath of all the sin ever committed on the earth on one man. So you and I could shackle free. Puppets to the devil, you know, he's up there. Cut all the strings. He's still there trying. Puppeteer, puppet master. And we're not complying anymore. Our confession is changed. Our eyes have been wiped clear. Our minds and our hearts have been spoken. And now we raise our hands and worship. See what I mean? Look, if it's not God, if it's not freedom and liberty and oppressing you, don't get comfortable with it. Don't take it for granted. I mean, I hear Christians say, oh, it's just a little head cold. It'll go away. Oh, it's just a little headache. It's usually gone by noon. I challenge you to lift your hands and say, thank you for paying my life. And your flesh paid the eternal price for my life, and I'm redeemed. What's the word redeemed mean? Brought back or bought back to original value. What's he saying? We've been redeemed through the blood. Watch. Sin-cursed life, Garden of Eden before sin. You've been redeemed, brought back, bought back by the blood of Jesus. So what you were to be in the first place? One with God, whole by his Spirit of grace. Fuck, you can't get any clearer. Cancer has to obey. Only believe. HIV, we're done. Sin, the day's over. Jesus. You hear me? Still real passionate and excited. I hope I'm not overwhelming anybody. Last verse, I'm just going to go here unless I get another one, but I feel like I already just preached myself happy. This is a short one, maybe. Usually I go on and on. Romans 8. So he came in the flesh. He came in the flesh. You realize how powerful that is? He came in the flesh. He's the last Adam. You don't have any other hope. You're not looking for any other Messiah. There is no other name under heaven by which men can be saved. And all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Do you hear the promises and the matter of fact about God's word? Many are the afflictions of the righteous. That means you won't have trouble. Many is the trouble that goes on. Many are the problems that arise and face your life and challenge your life and try to test your life and squeeze your life. Right? Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them. How many? All. Don't throw that if it be God's will in the midst of that and muddy that up. Psalms 103 says he forgives all my sins. And then I'll have somebody turn right around and say, but Pastor, you don't know what I've done. They'll say, but Pastor, you don't understand. He says, I forgive all your sins. And then somebody will turn around and say, yeah, well. See what I mean? He forgives all your sin and heals what? Psalms 103, is that in the Bible? He heals all your what? Diseases. And then somebody will turn around and say, well, yeah, but. No, it's not yeah, well, but. All is all. Matthew 21:22 says, all things, whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe. That's the key, believe. Shall be done. I'm talking about backpedaling after a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, another diagnosis and saying, oh, God, I don't know what's going on now. But you can't take that stuff to heart. You can't take what people are saying to heart. You can't even take what your body's saying to heart. You got to take what Jesus is saying to heart. It's worth staking your life on. You understand what I'm saying? You live because he says life. Not because you're strong-willed. Not you live because Jesus says life. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. Comma. To say, I'm Jesus in John right now, preaching his death. But I've come. Now he's identifying himself. But I've come. He's separating himself from the thief. He'll steal his destroy. But I've come that you might have life and life. It's all about life, isn't it? So how can we turn around and say, either God did this, God didn't want to do this, or his will's quite clear. So we've got to come to a place like Peter where he says, we come to know and believe. Know and believe. You're the Christ. The Son of God. Where else? Why look at where else? He came in the flesh. Amen? Amen. Romans 8. Verse 29. Oh, let's back up. Remember that we know phrase I just used? Verse 28. And we know. See, you got to know something. You can't intellectually have it. I see people that are seemingly intellectually saved. They have an intellectual salvation. No fruit of salvation. They're frustrated and miserable in their life. But they know the whole gospel in their mind. And they can preach it. We got to get before Jesus and raise our hands until he just penetrates our heart and our soul and yield ourselves to him. And ask him to just manifest. So you've got to seek God. Intellectual knowledge puffs you up. Love edifies. If a person that has a head knowledge of salvation and they're not experiencing the fruit, I would encourage you to get on your knees and don't even try to pray nothing. Just say, thank you that you love me. Thank you that you love me so much. You died for me in spite of me. You love me. Thank you for your love. Start thanking God. That you're valuable and precious. I've never felt good about myself. I've never given myself even the worth of 2 cents, but you died for me. Thank you. And it doesn't feel real. It doesn't seem real. And God seems a million miles away. But by faith, you're saying, soul, you're submitting. Mind, you're going to believe. And you submit your body and you get on your knees and you thank God he loves you. And he died for you. And he came to give you life and life. Thank you that I'm precious in your sight. You get a mirror and you hold it right there. My God. You are loved by God. You are so precious to God, man. God died for you. You lay the mirror down and you keep on praying till that thing gets a hold of you. You see what I'm saying? Here we are dragging our lift in the mud.
Yeah, you know you're so blessed. I don't think God loves me.
He died once for how many? That word all is in the Bible a lot now. What don't we understand about all? Look, and we know, watch this. No matter what hell you're going through, what pressure you're going through, what trial you're facing, you can know this. Right, Annie? You can know this. You can know that all things work together for the good to those who love God. You don't love God because you love God. You love God because he's first. That's why Satan doesn't want us to feel lovable. That's why Satan wants you condemned. That's why Satan wants you believing contrary to this word, because if you don't see the love of God, you will never be able to love God with your life. See, to love God is to keep his commandments. It's not to sing, I love you, Lord, on Sunday. I know that's straight in faith, but I'm just being real. To love God isn't go to church on a regular basis. To love God isn't to sing in tune when the worship team is singing. To love God is to keep his word. And you won't have this in you to keep his word if you don't see his first love for you. So if you're living condemned and guilty and shamed and still thinking you're less than what the Bible says, you won't see God's love to you. You won't have the grace or the response in your life to love God back. You'll get into works, religion, and duty, and you'll fail. You'll fall short. Am I making sense? Is that, do you get that? It's a pretty clear statement, but it, okay. We know all things work together for good who love God and are called according to, this is phenomenal, his, why are things going to work good for our life? Just because God loves us and he wants things to go good for us? Because we're called according to his purpose. The greatest way to receive healing and redemption in your body and freedom in your soul is when you sincerely know that you're created for his will and his glory. Nothing else. It's not about having a longevity marriage, raising up 3 kids, sending them all to college, maybe doctors and lawyers, and having your house paid by such and such, and having a good retirement, and living a good, peaceful life. All that stuff seems nice and great, but it's about the purpose of God and the will of God. And if all that takes place in the midst of that, praise God. But that is not the focus. The focus is the purpose that you breathe, the purpose that you're here, the purpose that your name is what it is, and that you're here in this day and hour. That's what I mean. Purpose-driven life. See, life without purpose is an experiment. See, that piano up there is simply it's simply a visual. It has no purpose until the keys are touched and played. The beauty and the potential of that piano isn't even enjoyed and experienced until somebody gets up there that knows what they're doing and begins to play. It's just the piano until it's played and it fulfills it. The shoe. I mean, it has no value until it's worn. And it protects my feet, makes me comfortable, and allows me to walk across the cement and not go out and all. Purpose. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a time, season, everything has a time to be born. You're here by divine order. And then people are saying their life is sick and going against God's word. Satan knows he's a sin in the flesh and their potential. There he is lying again. Suicide. I'm a mistake. My life's not worth it. I'm a mistake. My life's not worth it. When the Bible says you're healed by divine order, if life came in the womb, it's just God. He saw your day before it was seen. He predestined you before the foundation of the world. He saw your day. There is no such thing as a mistake. I don't care if you were conceived in rape, fornication. I don't care if God makes glory out of us. If we're deceived. Preaching real good if you'll listen. I'm telling you, there's some stuff flying out here. Man, we better get our eyes on the truth. Watch this. See, you say, why do you keep saying you're preaching? You're stroking yourself. No, it's the Holy Ghost in me. I'm saying, good boy, that a boy. Way to go, man. You all right? Because I believe I'm under the anointing of God. I believe I'm consumed by the Holy Spirit. I believe I'm saying what God is saying. It has nothing to do with me. I'm preaching His word. So I can tell you. As He has. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was. I'm just preaching God. Amen. For whom He foreknew. That's who? Us. He foreknew. He predestined. See? It's right here. We're foreknown and we're predestined. But look what we're foreknown and predestined for. To be what? Romans 8 verse 29. To be conformed to the image of His Son. The reason I was foreknown and predestined was to be like Him. And here we are talking this worm in the dirt, and I'm always kind of be sinner. And I'm No. I'm predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. It's my calling. The anointing is there. Destiny is there. The Holy Ghost power is there. If I can start believing that, it's there waiting to propel. Takes away self-confidence. I don't have to produce the power when I pray for the sick because it's my destiny. I don't have to make a firework. I don't have to make a spark and make something happen. I just have to believe this gospel I'm preaching and speak in Jesus' name. You see what I'm saying? But it takes a lot of pressure off the human mind and heart and soul, doesn't it? Because we're in His image for His glory. But watch this. I'm not being mean right now, and I'm not trying to condemn anybody. But when our children are sick, the average Christian just quickly gets self-conscious and grabs something out of the cupboard or runs into a doctor and never even lays hands on and speaks in the name of Jesus and faith. Power, God. My young boy, he was pretty little, and I used to pray, God, just to see you. See you. See you. I remember he was going through something one night, in the middle of the night, and I was at work working late until 2:30 in the morning. And it was like 2:00, and he's really upset, crying, feeling bad. He says to Mom, just call Daddy, because he'll come home and pray for me. And when he prays, God always moves. I was like, yeah! I don't know about you, but that made a good daddy feel better. I was like, yeah! So my wife calls me at 2:00, and I leave at 2:30 to tell me what he said. What do you think that did to my heart? Yeah, I won't even get in the rest of the story because you know what happened. But anyhow, I feel the Holy Ghost. He foreknew us. He predestined us to be conformed to the image of His Son that He might be firstborn. Oh my, He's the firstborn among men. We're all to follow by faith. He lives by faith. Doesn't always feel this way, does it? Doesn't always seem this way, does it? Doesn't always seem to feel this way, does it? But we live by faith. We have to stick to His word and we press through by faith. Or you can believe the feelings, you can believe the voices in your head, you can believe the lies that are floating around you. You can just believe the way that seems right to man, the rational voice of the earth. You can believe all that, and you can believe this book. Amen? Ruth told me she was leaving early. She's not walking out on me, are you, Ruth? Huh? She's like, I can't believe you're going. Amen. She said, don't think I'm walking out on you. Now, He might be the first. Moreover, watch this. Moreover, so it gets better. More than this, even more than this. Moreover, whom He predestined, these He also called. Whom He called, He also justified. Whom He justified, He also glorified. Who did all this? He did it. It's your destiny. We got ourselves in a rut and a mess, and He went out of His way and beat up His Son on the cross to get you back on track. And here we are resisting and fighting this truth, not grabbing the full benefit of it, that He came in the flesh. So my flesh, he cursed sin in the flesh. Sin shall have no dominion over me. I've been set free. He that continues in the word will know the truth, right? And the truth will, it's not a myth from heaven. It's not an experience. It's not some super spiritual service. Truth. The truth is life. The truth. It'll set you free. And he that the Son sets free, is free indeed. The truth. What I haven't seen before, I'm seeing. Oh. Oh. Yes. Oh. Yeah. Oh. You got it? got saved, the night I got saved, I didn't know God was real. And that was what broke my heart. God spoke to me and made me realize I didn't know God was real. I thought it was just me thinking it was God setting me up because he predestined me. He had a job for me. He was fiddled around enough. He was getting me out of the mess. So God came and said, you don't even know if God's really real. Kept on working. Had to face that. I didn't know God. I didn't know he was real. So I cried out in a pathetic, messy state. And I vowed my life. I don't even know who. I came to this place of confessing sin, selfishness, pride, hypocrisy. I'm a pathetic man. Sound like I was being hard on myself. No, I needed to come to that place. Every time I confessed that stuff, when China came up out of me and took ownership of it, he said, not anymore. Not anymore. You're out of denial now. You changed it. Not anymore. Not anymore. I've been so full of pride. Not anymore. That's how the gospel works. Confession under salvation. You confess, he cleanses. Do it. Get real. So I'm going, if you're really real, my prayer sounded pathetic. It didn't sound spirit-filled, trust me. If you're really real, and if you really love me, you can forgive me and have a plan for my life. I will live with you. Heaven overtook me. You feel that? Oh, I feel that. Heaven came all on me and I did just like this. Oh. I was at work. This is just what I did. I don't know if I ever acted it out. You're so real. The light. You're real. You're really, really real. Oh, God, you're real. I'm at work. You're real. That was at work. I tried to work, and I'd stop and go,